Welcome to Season 3 of E-Commerce Fastlane, Episode 86.
Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, launch, grow, and scale a wildly successful e-commerce company. Listen to real conversations with proven practical strategies and success stories. Learn how to generate more traffic, more sales, more profit, and customer lifetime value for your Shopify store. And now, your host and e-commerce entrepreneur, Steve Hutt.
This episode is brought to you by OmniSend, makers of sophisticated omnichannel marketing automation tools for sales-driven Shopify brands and marketers that have outgrown generic email marketing platforms. Engage your customers and boost your e-commerce sales with dynamic emails, text messages, web push notifications, Facebook Messenger, and retargeting ads on Google and Facebook. So it's much more than just email marketing. They handle all of your marketing activities across multiple channels, all from within one platform. They have single-click Shopify integration, which also includes email templates and automatic product import from Shopify. Super easy migration from any other email solution that you might be currently using. And right now, OmniSend is offering a 14-day free trial for all of my listeners, which also includes 50% off for the first 3 months. So check them out, ecommercefastlane.com/OmniSend, and use the coupon code FASTLANE when you sign up. Hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, this is your first time listening. This is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. Now, new episodes are available each week with your favorite podcast player through iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Or you can also sign up online at ecommercefastlane.com and be notified when a new show is being released. Now, my guest in today's episode is Justin Christensen, and he's the co-founder and president from Conversion Fanatics. And they're a marketing agency that focuses exclusively on strategic conversion rate optimization strategies that help e-commerce companies like Shopify realize true, scalable, and sustainable growth. So it's an exciting episode. It's a topic that comes up all the time with the brands that I manage. How can I improve my conversion rate? I don't want to drive any more net new visitors. I want to convert more of the people I currently have. And that's why I have Justin on the show. So let's jump in and learn more. So hi, Justin. Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me.
I mentioned at the top of the show a bit about what you do, but I'd like to hear it in your own words. Like, what specifically does Conversion Fanatics do, and what sort of problem are you solving for Shopify brands?
Well, you kind of said it in the intro a little bit. You know, we're taught as marketers that we just need more eyeballs on stuff. More people means more. Revenue or, you know, profits. And a sexy topic is traffic, you know, Facebook, Google, and all of those fun things. But nobody talks about the other side of the coin, and that is conversion optimization and really understanding the behaviors of the audience once they click off that ad. You know, how do they interact with the landing page? How do they flow on a site? What friction points are they being met with? What questions are we not answering as marketers to help them get to that end goal that we want achieved? And, you know, the ultimate catalyst of being the exchange of money for goods or services. In this case, you know, goods. So we really help identify what those audiences are doing, what their likes are, what their dislikes are, where are they falling off in that process, and really help our clients move to better understand and evolve and change and grow their business through actionable, trackable and measurable movements. Mm-hmm. Instead of just assuming something is going to work, we actually help either prove or disprove that assumption and use it as leverage to kind of exploit and inform future experimentation and growth initiatives.
Yeah, and that's the reason why I have you on today, because I feel that there's quite a few agencies out there. I'd almost say they're a Swiss Army knife of all things marketing strategy, but I think when you focus and double down on one particular area, and I think this show hopefully will prove the reasons why you've made this choice to go down this journey, and you are quite an expert at doing this sort of work. Tell me a bit about the founder's journey. I mentioned at the top of the show, CRO is an extremely important tactic other than driving net new visitors to, you know, in that awareness and consideration phase. It's like, how do we convert these customers? And so I've always curious as to why people make the decisions on the services that they offer, being an app or in your case, actual agency work in CRO. So let's talk about, like, what do you believe uniquely positions you and the founding team, first of all, to have the desire, and number two, to have the expertise to want to go down this rabbit hole of CRO?
Yeah, well, it kind of happened out of necessity or demand, I guess you could say, is we had each previously sold separate companies. I've got one founding partner. We'd been longtime friends, and I kept getting asked, based on some information that I had published at my previous company that I sold way back in 2009, what I was going to do, and if I could help people with their implementation and their optimization. So I started doing it, and I was on my own, and I just had an outsourced designer, and I was just helping people set up landing pages and run some basic split tests and just kind of helping them kind of growth hack their way, in today's terms, their way to the improvement that they were looking for, and help them with kind of overall marketing strategy. Mm-hmm. And then we realized there was a big pain point, as more people really needed to understand this. We thought, first, let's teach it, because we came from an info publishing background, and we figured out nobody wanted to learn it. So they said, can you just, that all sounds great. Can you guys just do it for me? So yeah. There we are. We threw $750 each into a hat, into our virtual bank account, and off we went, and started really just helping businesses, and then started developing process, and realized that it was just something that wasn't talked about. They knew they needed to do it, but they didn't know how or what to actually mm-hmm. do to get there. So we just mm-hmm. started educating people on the process of it. Here we are, 6+ years later, you know, helped some absolutely amazing brands do some amazing things, and hoping to continue on with that journey of just continuing to educate, you know, doing things like this, you know, mm-hmm. podcasts where just helping people understand the importance of it. It's a reason why I wrote my book, speak at events, and all of that stuff is just to really educate people on the importance of optimization.
I love it. And I love the done for you service. I think people are quite busy. And I think founders and executive team, they're learning that it's very, very challenging to differentiate yourself to a market. There's a lot of competition out there. And so figuring out what your unique value is, and then trying to figure out, of that traffic that I am driving to my website, it's like, what can an expert like Conversion Fanatics do to kind of help them convert more customers? And I think you obviously fine-tuned some skills over the years, both for your own necessity, but now for other Shopify brands. And I know this question may sound a little simple or maybe obvious, but I suspect that you have a very unique perspective on this topic, considering that, you know, you have an agency that's called Conversion Fanatics. But why do you believe that a Shopify brand should or want to do conversion optimization?
Well, traffic will only get you so far. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's only so many eyeballs you can get on a particular topic or product before you kind of run out of options.
Yeah,
and for true scalability, there is two sides of the coin. And yeah. For optimization, it's more about really understanding the behaviors of the visitors. And I think that's where a lot of people get a little bit misconstrued is, you know, they think that, you know, optimization is just increasing that conversion rate. And that's only one piece of the bigger marketing picture. We have a lot of pieces of the puzzle that we impact from our optimization efforts that can't necessarily be quantified. It isn't as apples to apples comparison as, hey, the button color, I changed it and it raised or lowered my conversion rate. It's a bigger overall picture. We've had impact on customer support, you know, on cost per acquisition, on average order value, lifetime value, all sorts of metrics. It isn't just conversion rate. And I think that's where people get kind of confused, is they don't look at the long-term bigger picture of it. And what we really try to do is just help them get to that point. And the companies that embrace optimization are the ones that get there faster, that the ones that are staying up on the marketing trends, because they're quickly and easily able to adapt and change and evolve their marketing message and their strategies and their usability of their website, instead of just every 6 months, it's like, hey, we need to rebrand, or we need to we need to change themes, or we need to do whatever, instead of educating themselves on the evolution of that and making informed decisions. They're going to get there faster and farther, and it's going to be much easier and less stressful than changing themes, and then all of a sudden your conversion rate drops in half, and then you got to bounce it back.
I've had many of these strategic calls with brands with that sole purpose, thinking they feel that their theme is a little bit bloated, or there's other kind of speed issues, or there's too many apps, or there's just whatever the sisters are. And they think, okay, well, I'm just going to go in and change my theme. Mm-hmm. That has some interesting challenges to it also. So you mentioned a little bit about the whole button color. And so let's dig in that a little bit, because I think there may be some miscommunication about A/B testing, and is it the same thing as conversion optimization?
Well, the answer is no.
Okay.
In the true sense of the word, conversion rate optimization, people immediately think split testing.
Yeah.
Well, split testing is only the means at which we prove or disprove any assumptions that we have. It's to measure if we're right or not, and by how much. Conversion rate optimization in and of itself is more of using data from a both qualitative and quantitative perspective. So your Google Analytics data, your, you know, other tracking, your Shopify metrics, your heat maps and exit polls and customer surveys and scroll maps and all of those things boiled into what are these visitors? What do they care about? What are they interacting with the most? And then we just figure out the question why. We just ask the question why a lot. And just ask why they're not clicking on this certain element, or why aren't they adding to cart, or why are they falling off on the cart page, or why aren't they clicking on my hero image, or whatever reason why. We come up with every reason why. And then we just test those ideas and then let that data kind of build on itself and move. So the people that just think conversion rate optimization is A/B testing are the ones that get frustrated with the process. They don't win. They don't see the improvement. And if you embrace true optimization and just use A/B testing as your vehicle to measure, then you're going to win more. You're going to be smarter. You're going to be happier. You're going to not quit as soon. And it's just kind of a revolving door from there. But, you know, button color does play a role in that, but it has to be reason why. It's like, hey, I changed my button color because it added more contrast to the page and put more emphasis on my main call to action. So therefore, it's going to increase the conversion rate, instead of, hey, I like green better than orange.
Right, right. So what areas do you think a brand should focus on for its efforts? They're listening to the show now. They agree with you. Okay, A/B testing is not the same as conversion optimization. I get it. And there's lots of things, the quantitative, the qualitative. There's a lot of great advice here. And I think a lot of people listening today would agree with that. So based on your experience, what should people do to grow and scale today?
Simplify. I see it a lot, particularly. I mean, we're in Shopify world. You know, there's an app, there's a plugin for everything. Sometimes there's 50 of them. And I think people get too caught up in that it causes more problems than it helps. And not to knock any of the applications or any of that, because I'm a Shopify user to myself. Mm-hmm. I've been known to push install quite a few times. But we get these companies that come in and just say, hey, you know, we saw this, or somebody said that this is going to work. Let's just push the button, and we have a new app, and then it causes 50 other problems, or they didn't vet it out completely to make sure it was going to work for them. For them to grow and scale, I think it's that, simplify. This has kind of been my mantra for a couple of years, but also to listen to your customers, kind of take your voice out of it. Doesn't matter what you or I think at the end of the day. It's what your visitors really care about and what pain points you're solving. There's other things like to focus on the growth and scale is, I'm seeing this a lot more recently, but it's diversification of channels of marketing. There is the omni-channel world, and we can get on the topic of attribution and all of that fun stuff. But I'm seeing people get all their eggs in the Facebook basket. And I'm even seeing companies, I'm the conversion rate guy. So, you know, we're seeing companies with a lot of fluctuations. This January, we had half of our clients be like, why is my conversion rate in the tank? Cut in half in some cases. And it was just weird fluctuations with Facebook traffic, time of year, and just random instances that there was nothing inherently wrong. But they were seeing such big dips in revenue and such big dips in their other metrics, all because they had majority of their eggs in the Facebook basket. And so diversification is really trying to be as omnichannel as you can, and not necessarily for customer acquisition, but more so awareness and branding. I used to be anti-branding. In my earlier life, but I've come full circle on that topic. And just, I realized that there is a lot to kind of having some brand equity and some loyalty there. So just being aware there is something to be said, because attribution windows are kind of getting longer. People aren't going in and buying minute one. You know, there are not a lot of impulse purchases at various price points. So we're seeing that kind of need to spread it out a little bit, so you're aware, and they might not buy today, but they might buy in 30 days.
Now, I know you're talking about a few of the strategies here, so let's kind of dig into your mind a bit, since this is where you've really doubled down and focus on. So when you're analyzing a Shopify store, like, how do you find some of the key problem areas that you believe might be overlooked? Let's say you take on a new client. They feel that their conversion rate is subpar, below what they believe is kind of an industry average based on their vertical. And they come to you. What are you finding? Where do you start?
Well, I actually jump into Google Analytics. It's pretty much my first place to start. Follow that up. I will look at Shopify Analytics to see what is supporting it, you know, if what kind of trends we're seeing. But in regular old GA, I'm just looking for trends in the data. I'm looking for pages they're landing on. I'm looking for time on site. I'm looking for bounce rate. I'm looking for average order values, demographic data, then conversion data. So luckily, Shopify and GA play very nicely together. If you have enhanced e-commerce working together, that is. If you have enhanced e-commerce, just go into your Google Analytics, click on conversions, click on e-commerce, click on shopping behavior. And that's my favorite report.
Yeah.
It tells you exactly. It'll tell you. I mean, it'll tell you exactly where your key drop-off points are. Chances are it's probably your product detail page. Could be your home page. Could be your cart. But usually it's product detail page to add to carts. That's kind of the key drop-off point. And I'm just looking for the natural flow of the visitors. So where are they going? And particularly heavily on Shopify stores is they typically will, I don't know why this is, but they'll typically neglect their homepage. I'm seeing it's like, well, I'm driving traffic to this landing page, or I'm driving traffic to this product detail page specifically, and nobody's going to my homepage. I answer that question by showing them a screenshot of their data, and it's almost always number two or number three most visited pages on their site.
Yep.
Usually engagement is three times as much, and you know, bounce rate super low and conversion rate super high. So it's like, well, point some traffic there and see what happens. And we've seen return on ad spend go up from 2.5 to 4.5x just by pointing the traffic into a different spot. So we're just looking for those trends in the data and what kind of story is that data telling us. And it doesn't have to be overly complicated. It's usually pretty simple. I look at three or four different reports in there. I call it my 16-minute exercise here at the office.
Okay.
I literally will throw it up on the big screen and I'll say, okay, I've never seen this site before. And I literally will pull up analytics. I'll look at the demographic. I'll look at the, you know, mobile versus desktop breakdown. I'll look at the shopping behavior and then the landing page and then the all page data. And I'll, okay, here's my big picture. Okay. We've got females aged 35 to 44, majority mobile devices. And then I'll pull up the site and I'll say, okay, they're dropping off at the product detail page. What's product detail page look like on mobile? And then I'll just pick it apart and absolutely destroy it. And I call it 16 minute because it took me 16 minutes the first time I did it.
Love it.
So that's super cool. Try to overcomplicate it.
No, and I get it. And I think it makes sense. And I think, you know, those listening today, I mean, obviously mobile traffic for most brands, especially in fashion, I think Shopify is probably half fashion brands probably. And, you know, knowing that, I mean, it's, you know, mobile traffic is the biggest. So that's a great tip to, if in fact your traffic is like, let's say, I know some brands are like 80% of their traffic is coming through mobile. Well, other than responsive, how does your site look? How does it interact? What are these top mobile pages? That's a very interesting way of looking at it. And then, as you said, tear it down and have a look and say, like, what can I do to improve that? Is it the responsiveness of the theme? Should I have an AMP app installed? Should I think about PWA and progressive web apps? There's lots of stuff that can happen, I think, to improve that. I think that's where you kind of fit in potentially with partners and stuff too. And like, well, it's maybe not just tweaking the responsive theme, but it could turn into PWA or it could turn into something else. So once you've kind of done that 60 minutes, do these kind of conversations open up potentially with potential customers?
They do. And I think you hit the nail on the head there is they so many people think, okay, yeah, it's mobile, we're all mobile, but they don't treat them separate, even in a responsive environment. Some elements might not show if they have, say, out-of-the-box purchase theme or, you know, even a slightly customized theme. Things don't always fall into the same place that you think they might on desktop. And we often will constantly be looking at it in desktop. And, you know, when we are going in and looking at our stats, you know, and we're looking at our website and the flow, we're not always paying attention to mobile. So we treat them separate. We treat them like they're completely two separate websites. And sometimes even responsive nature will have completely different experiences or elements or functions that once that page break hits, it's a different experience.
And so I've dealt with, just based on my day job, that I deal with like hundreds, I don't even say thousands, but certainly hundreds of Shopify brands, part of their main point of contact for marketing strategy. And I know there's a recurring theme that comes up quite a bit, wanting to improve their conversion rate. So do you believe that just the conversion rate itself, just that KPI, do you believe that's that what determines if a site is successful or not?
I think it's actually the worst metric to focus on.
Okay.
Yes, I'm a conversion rate guy, but I don't care about your conversion rate at the end of the day. I care about the bigger picture, and conversion rate will be what it is. If your other metrics can work out, can you get your cost per acquisition in line with your average order value? What does that look like from a scalability perspective? Because I can have, like, for instance, I've got some bottles of supplements sitting on my desk, and I've got some apparel sitting here as well. But I can have two different apparel companies selling very similar t-shirts, for example. Two needs completely different metrics. They think that, oh, I need to have a 2% conversion rate because so-and-so has a 2% conversion rate. But there's so many different things that go into that, that it's extremely loaded if you're just looking at it. Like, I have a brand new client that's Shopify Plus partner, actually. It came to us over the weekend. We're just running some AA tests, making sure everything's tracking. And he's like, my conversion rate terrible this morning or today. Why? What happened? What did you guys do? And I looked, and it was worse than it was yesterday, but he was just looking at his Shopify stats, comparing it to yesterday. But if you looked at a bigger window, it was only off by, like, it was 1.8 versus 1.79, you know, but because they had a really good day the day before, it showed that it was like, oh, 41% reduction or something like that. But it actually wasn't as bad as they thought it was. So that can get people, they get kind of an analysis paralysis. And they watch the data without getting a big enough sample size. And this was like 9:30 in the morning. So it's like your day hasn't even started yet, and you're already wondering what's wrong. So it's focusing on the bigger picture. You know, we're going to have fluctuations and bigger sample size and bigger window. But yeah, conversion rate in and of itself is kind of a loaded metric that's kind of relative to the rest of your marketing performance, because you could get a 10% conversion rate and still be break even or lose money.
Yeah, that's a good point. And then, so you're saying almost throw out the whole benchmarking concept. You know, let's say I'm in men's footwear and the best men's footwear brands. I'm sure Shopify has all these numbers just saying, based on these verticals, these are kind of where everybody's trending at just in general. And then so, and if you believe you're significantly lower than that, I think there's other kind of analytics tools and things that are available out there that, you know, have put certain types of verticals in certain buckets, and then they average out the conversion rate of those. So you're suggesting that maybe benchmarking is maybe a poor way of looking at it, and it's almost like, you could, once again, you're only focusing on one KPI instead of like the bigger picture.
Yeah. And I mean, that benchmark is cool. I mean, Shopify does spit out that number and say, hey, you're this far. But I have a client that sends me that screenshot like once a week. They're like, hey, we're not up to where we were before. And it's like, well, it doesn't really matter. You know, yes, it's cool to be like, yeah, you're performing better than 20% of the other sites in your vertical. But at the end of the day, it's what works for you and what works for your metrics. And if you're acquiring customers at a certain rate and the conversion rate happens to be 1% versus so-and-so gets 2.5, but your metrics work out, then you can massage those numbers to make them better. We've helped companies scale 300% in revenue, and their conversion rate actually went down slightly. But if we would have just focused on that, we would have chalked that up to a losing campaign instead of, hey, we were able to scale 300% in revenue more profitably. Yeah, our conversion rate took a little bit of a hit, but they're spending $30 average on each order more.
Right, whatever.
So it's kind of a win-win and a win-lose at the same time, depending on how you look at it.
You know, and I guess it all comes back to the other topic too that I have, is that there really is not necessarily a blueprint for success that other people can copy. Even though you're in the same vertical, I think every brand is unique. It has its own customer experiences. It has its own tech stack, its own maturity, its own look and feel. There's all these variables that go along with it. And if you're always just looking at others, you tend to not focusing on what's going on in your own backyard.
Yeah. And I took this to heart a handful of years ago. I met a very high profile CEO and I said, who's your competition? And he shrugged his shoulders. He had no idea. And we're talking a guy that runs a multi-billion dollar organization. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I don't know. And he said, I don't care. He said, I just want to provide the best quality product that I can to service my market. And if I continue to show up like that every day, then I'm going to win. And he said, regardless of competition. And that's what we really try to do here at Conversion Fanatics. And we also try to do for our clients, is we just kind of help them see the forest through the trees. They're so close. They're so close to our marketing. You know, you get so close to your metrics and your message and imagery and all that stuff, you fail to see the bigger picture. It's good to have kind of an unbiased look sometimes, but just focus on what you do best and the numbers will fall where they fall if you're listening to your customers and optimizing correctly.
So Justin, this show has a diverse range of listeners. I'm sure you can appreciate the download numbers are lately, but you know, upwards of 10,000 people a month are listening to the show, and a lot of them have different needs. And I think they're also in different stages. So if someone was in an early stage, and since you deal with so many Shopify brands, what sort of things do you believe an early stage, kind of a side hustler type business, what sort of things do you believe they should be working on today?
Don't think there's a magic solution out there. Okay. There's not a magic app. There's not a magic theme. I've even recorded YouTube videos on this. There isn't a magic theme that's just going to out-convert everything else. I always tell people to just start with the basics, straight out of the box theme, keep it simple. And then particularly when you're new and you're early on, right, you probably don't have a lot of data to optimize or a lot of traffic. Right. So qualitative optimization is going to be your friend, meaning ask the questions, ask why, survey, poll, ask, you know, give away products for free and chase for feedback, you know, whatever you can from a user testing, heat map, click map, exit poll, kind of data perspective, figuring out why the visitors are not purchasing or why they're purchasing, and then evolve your message from there. And then you can get to the stage of actually doing true optimization. But it all comes down to just don't overcomplicate it and just ask a lot of questions.
Great advice. Now, what about those that are considered more in the mid-market, you know, maybe even enterprise? So they would be likely on Shopify Plus. They have a small team, outsourced, you know, agency partner for some of their marketing. They could have an in-house team. What do you believe out of the executive team or the marketing team, what should they be working on?
Three things. One is remove friction from that process and the journey to becoming a customer. I have the saying, lead them down the path of least resistance to the end goal. We're hit with pop-ups and stuff all the way along the journey. The main goal when they get to the site should be to, here's who we are, here's what we do, and then get them finding the product they're looking for that's going to solve the problem as quickly as possible. Get them engaged in that shopping stage and then get them through to the next step as quickly as possible. I see people just try to overcomplicate it from there. Again, goes back to simplification. And then I think people need to stop trying to go for the immediate sale, particularly in a little bit larger organizations. I'm seeing it probably in that 3 to 5 million-ish range, maybe 1 million to 5 million range. We have the joke that you want a discount, just try to leave the cart, you know, yeah. And yeah, that's kind of the running joke, but it's ever so true. And we could go on a 2-hour conversation just of this alone, but stop racing to the discount. The visitors aren't necessarily there. They just might have questions. You might have not answered a question. They might not know you or trust you yet, but they might in 20 days. They might in 30 days. So build for the long term. Nurture that relationship instead of racing to the discount, because the immediate sale isn't worth it when you're looking for the kind of long term growth. And if you want to be around in 5 years type scenario, and I think of it there. The other one is cutting the noise, listening to all the junk out there. Focus on what's good for you. The more you can learn about your visitors and your visitors' behavior rather than what so-and-so over here. And we've touched on this a little bit, but that's my biggest thing. Focus on what's good for you and your brand versus worrying about what other people are doing. you're going to get there a lot faster and you're going to go farther, particularly what I've seen. And I've been fortunate enough to see behind the scenes on a lot of very fast growing organizations, and some very large organizations all the way up and even a Fortune 500. That's the ones that really focus on and get there and grow a lot faster versus trying to kind of growth hack their way and app their way to growth.
I agree with you totally on all those comments. One thing I'm going to add to it is that about the discounting concept is that I think it's a poor way of doing business. I think it trains your site visitors to want to wait for a discount. And I think that is just drives it down to the bottom as far as your revenue is concerned. And it kind of reminds me of one brand, Thursday Boot Company. They are a Shopify Plus brand selling great boots, men's and women's boots and shoes. And I bought some this BFCM, but I waited to see if in fact there was going to be a deal, and there was no deal. And I bought the boots. So I thought that was interesting, and it opened up my mind a bit. I'm like, hey, wait a second. And there's lots of other great stories out there that are being told. Like, listen, if you understand the value that you bring and the quality of the product that you actually have, then there's no need to discount it. And you're saying that there are ways of looking at the website, qualitative and quantitative ways of looking at the site and making decisions other than discounting to improve the overall revenue and lifetime value. That's what you're suggesting.
Yeah. It's not necessarily that they're looking for a discount. Price is almost never the objection. I mean, if you really think about it on a sales perspective, you just didn't answer the question well enough, or you didn't have that value stack up enough. And if you're constantly, it's hard to pull up from a nosedive when you've got a race to the bottom. It's virtually impossible. And I've seen it from clients that were, they would scale to 30 million in revenue, and then they would all of a sudden get in this, well, we keep discounting our price and we keep discounting our price, and now our average order value doesn't match and we can't make a profit. Now that 30 million turns into 10, and then that turns into 5, and they just cannot pull up from the nosedive because they have to sell 10 times more product to actually make a profit. So I just think nurture that relationship, answer the questions. You know, I look at it just kind of a quick example. Look at your abandoned cart checkout sequence. Instead of sending them the immediate email saying, hey, here's 10%, you forgot something in your cart, which sometimes we get the email before we're even off the cart.
Yeah.
You know, so I've seen it. Instead say, hey, is there a question I didn't answer for you today? Mm-hmm. Here's our 10 most frequently asked questions. When am I going to get my order? What can I experience and something? Or here's a report that explains, or here's our story. Here's a bunch of testimonials from amazing customers. Lengthen that journey, and then maybe you can step them down to a discount later, but answer all their questions first. Let them get to know you, like you, trust you first before they get their credit card out. Instead of just saying, hey, here's 15% off. You forgot something in your cart.
So let's talk about the future for Conversion Fanatics. You've been doing this, well, for a long time. It's 6 years, I guess, under this brand. But can you share any highlights for how you're going to be updating, I guess, maybe your roadmap or any partner alignment or any service offerings? Just was curious to see where you believe things are headed.
Well, we're kind of getting more and more into personalization recently. And kind of we've got our finger on the pulse of what's going on with AI. But to me, it's not quite there yet. That personal element is still missing because we are in the people business. So AI is kind of a little ways off, but personalization, more so creating a more hands-on kind of custom experience for each of the visitors. That's kind of where we're going. If I'm a male, I don't want to come in and see a bunch of images for, you know, women's clothing, for example. If I'm coming in to buy, you know, a pair of swim trunks, I want to see more things for that, not sweaters or, you know, based on the geolocation type scenario. So that's kind of where we're going. Other than that, we're keeping it pretty simple. We're kind of exploring a few different partnerships with a couple different software solutions, kind of just taking a step back right now this year and really focusing on how we approach optimization. You know, last year was more us going out to a lot of events, meeting a lot of people. And this year, we're kind of dialing that back. And I've kind of changed my thought process around CRO a little bit, how we approach it and think about it. So I'm just working towards kind of, you know, making everybody around here at Conversion Fanatics smarter in that process and learning as much as I can about that personalization element.
So ongoing growth for you and sharing it through your team. And that obviously is having an impact on the brands that you manage currently. That's very notable and exciting. We are nearing the end of the show though for today. I mean, we could probably chit chat, like you said, for hours on this topic. Do you have any closing comments or any takeaways that you would like to leave with our listeners today?
I mean, the biggest thing is, doesn't matter what you think or okay. I think at the end of the day is remove your ego from it. You may not like what your visitors have to say all the time about your brand, but you need to listen to them because you're missing something. Always try to answer that question, why? And always, 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 always test your assumptions instead of just so-and-so said it was going to work, so therefore it must work. There's a lot of that. So just test it, see what works for you, because we're proven wrong a lot, and that's why we test. So those are the biggest things that I can probably offer anybody.
So how can people learn more about the products, I guess, more services that Conversion Fanatics offers?
Yeah, you can go to conversionfanatics.com. You can search for me on the inner Google. You can find all sorts of information. You can search my name. I've got a book on Amazon all about A/B testing and optimization. Social media, I'm all over it. So go to www.clixo.com/Justin Christiansen, all one word. And you can literally find me everywhere from there. It's kind of my online business card. And those that really want it or would like kind of a fresh set of eyes, we do this all the time, hundreds of them a month. But you can just go to conversionfanatics.com and get a free proposal, we call it, but it's actually an in-depth analysis where we'll actually get under the hood, go look under your analytics and give you kind of a basic roadmap, whether you hire us or not. A ton of value that's spread in there. And we just like to give back and help as much as we possibly can.
Well, that's great, Justin. Thanks so much for coming on the show today. This has been very educational for me. I mean, I always joke a lot of times on this podcast, but I've literally written copious amount of notes. Definitely a life of learning mantra for me. And this is going to have quite a residual effect for the brands that I manage and those listening in today. Definitely look up Justin. I've not read your book yet, but I'm going to link that in the show notes. So it's definitely appreciate you coming on. I know we finally synced our calendars, made this a reality. So definitely a wrap for today. But once again, Justin, thank you kindly for sharing all your knowledge today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Steve. It's a pleasure.
This episode was brought to you by Omnisend, makers of sophisticated omnichannel marketing automation tools for sales-driven Shopify brands that have outgrown generic email marketing platforms. Engage your customers and boost your e-commerce sales with dynamic emails, text messages, web push notifications, Facebook Messenger, and retargeting ads on Facebook and Google, all from one platform. Try Omnisend for free for 14 days. Check them out, ecommercefastlane.com/Omnisend, and use the coupon code FASTLANE when you sign up. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you, a loyal listener of eCommerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, launch, grow, and scale with Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.